Well, good evening. Welcome in to our Live at 5 sermon series. My name is Justin Reed. Honored to have you along with us. I'm honored to be the pulpit minister for the Wood Church of Christ there at the base of Short Mountain in Woodbury in the aptly named Short Mountain community. You would be our honored guest. Any chance that affords you to come out and be with us, we would honor and welcome you at any time. What I am doing is I am getting ready to share this video, actually, to the church's page. If I can get everything to cooperate the way that I want it to, we're going to share this video. If you would mind, share the video as well so more people can read, understand. We're going to talk about something tonight in about a minute. As you can see from the screen next to me here, the importance of hope. Because hope is always so important. But what I have noticed in the last 26, 27, 28 weeks now, which it almost doesn't seem like we've been dealing with things altered in that capacity, but it has been, we need hope. The world needs hope almost now more than ever. I don't want to say 100% because the world's been a wicked place for some time. But regardless, we need hope. And so that's what I want us to talk about here tonight as I move that out of the way. So the only thing that's going to be between you and me is the Word of God. And that's all it should be. My goal is to stand behind the cross and preach Christ crucified. My clock here, which is going off the atomic signal, says it is 5 o'clock. We are live. Let's go live at 5, shall we? As we talk about the importance of hope, go ahead and turn your Bible, if you will, to the 6th chapter of the Hebrew letter, Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to be reading verses 17 through 20 before we get into our lesson here this evening. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 through 20. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge, to lay hold on the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Let's begin here with a little introductory material, if you will. The book of Hebrews, or the letter to the Hebrews, was written to encourage Christians to be faithful. And we see throughout the course of the letter, in the 6th chapter, indicates that some had fallen from that place in which they were. And the Hebrew author, because it is not identified for us in Scripture as who it is, we will just suffice it to say, the Hebrew author is persuaded that there are better things to come. And so the Hebrew writer is trying to persuade us as well. In verse 11 of the 6th chapter says, "We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." So he is encouraging those that is his audience, the first audience, and every audience since then, to remain faithful. And he gives them some hope. In our verses that we read in verse 19, he talks about how hope is anchored where? In heaven. Because that's where Christ has entered into, and he is now sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God, and he is ready. He is waiting for God to give him the signal. Then the trumpet will sound, the trumpet of the archangel, and Jesus Christ will come back. But until then, friends, Jesus Christ is sitting down there at the right hand of the throne up in heaven. And that's where Christ is, and so we can learn from Hebrews 6 and other places. But tonight, under examination, Hebrews 6, that hope is important. So the question becomes then, what I want us to answer in the time that we have remaining here this evening, why do we need hope? Why do we need hope? And so in order to continue in this sermon, I want us to look at three things that hope gives us. Three things that hope gives us. You ready? Number one, hope gives us something to talk about. Oh, it's so wonderful. Hope gives us something to talk about. Have you ever noticed that people, they just love to talk about their plans? You talk to a young person, and maybe fifth or sixth grade, and you say, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they'll tell you. And then you ask a middle school, high schooler, where do you want to go to college? What occupation do you want to have? Where do you want to live? And they love to start talking about all these things. They hope, well, I hope to go to MTSU. I hope to go to Fried Hardeman. I hope to go to Harvard. I hope to go to MIT. That's the Boston one, not Mitlo and Tullahoma, or if you want to go to that one. But they have a great hope. Friends, working people love to talk about their vacation plans. When we last went up to the Smoky Mountains, that was back in August. Well, we booked that. We start talking about it in June, and we had it booked before July, and so I started talking, you know, I'm not going to be here these days. Don't need me these days. I'm going to be up in the Smokies. I'm going to be away from this for a little while, away from the world, so to speak. We love talking about these things, or you talk about the older generation and how, you know, they've been working the same place for 30 years, and they've just got 3 years left. They're going to do what? That R word, they're going to retire. And then they say, when I retire, I'm going to reorganize the garage, and I'm going to do what she told me. I'm going to do what he told me. People love to talk about their plans, friends. Hope, it's only natural for us Christians then to want to talk about our plans in heaven, because I love the place that I live, but I can't wait to get to my eternal home, because this is just a temporary place. My eternal home, if I'm faithful to the end, is heaven. And so I love talking about heaven, and I think you do as well. Friends, it's only natural for us to want to talk about this. I want us to look at a couple of people. In fact, I'm going to put them all. I'm going to put all these up here. We're going to run these references because look what Jesus does in John chapter 14 and the first three verses. I feel you're familiar with these passages. John chapter 14, 1 through 3, Jesus Christ says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, then I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may also be," or be also. So what is Jesus Christ doing? He's speaking of that heavenly home. He says, I'm going to go there. And if I go, I'm going to come back and bring you. Now, he's gone, and we're just waiting on him to come back, friends. You see, Jesus Christ loved to talk about heaven as well. Although he talked more about hell per capita than heaven in the New Testament, he did enjoy talking about heaven, because that's where he knew that he was going. But let's see how Paul puts it when he writes that happy little letter to the Philippians. I say happy little letter because it seems like there is just so much happiness in the four chapters of Philippians, because Paul's in jail. Paul's in prison for preaching the gospel. Yet he is joyous. Yet he is excited. Notice what Paul says in Philippians 1:23. He says, I am in a strait between two, or betwixt two. He says, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ. He says, and that's far better for me. But look at verse 24. He says, nevertheless, to abide here in the flesh, that's better for you. He's already said, verse 21, for me to live is Christ, die is gain. Living Christ, getting the benefit, but if he dies, then he has gained his eternal reward. Friends, what's Paul talking about? Paul says, I'm ready to go because I know where I'm going. Well, let's see another New Testament author, and that would be Peter. What did Peter say in 1 Peter 1 and verse 3? And we'll also look at verse 21. 1 Peter 1 and 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 21, he says, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, gave glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. See, Peter's talking about that glorious resurrection. Peter's looking for that time when he can be with the Lord again. Remember, he was with Christ some three and a half years, but he's also longing. He also knows that he's hoping for that time when Christ comes back. And we are hoping and longing and waiting for that as well. One final passage under this point. 1 Thessalonians 5, starting in verse 13. We'll actually read through the end of the chapter, but I didn't have room to put that all on one line there. I want you to note the hope that Paul wrote to those in Thessalonica. He actually wrote two letters to them, but we're going to examine what's in the first letter. That'd be 1 Thessalonians 4, starting in verse 13. But as we set the scene here, there were some people, some Christians in Thessalonica that had passed away before Christ came back. Now today, this seems maybe trivial to us because there have been a lot of people in the almost 2,000 years since Christ went back to the Father in heaven that have passed away. But at this time, you know, you're looking at 50s AD. It hadn't been too long, but 20, 30 years, something like that. And so they wonder what's going to happen. Notice this hope, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even though sent them which so also sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, so we shall ever be with the Lord. But notice verse 18, he says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Paul is answering their questions, he's providing them comfort, and he's also offering them hope. Here's what's going to happen. Now you need to be faithful, because whether you die or whether you're still alive when Christ comes back, the main thing is that you're faithful. Because then he's going to take you home with him anyways, friends. Hope gives us something to talk about, sing about, pray about, and something to rejoice over. Hope is a wonderful thing. Hope is something that every Christian needs. So number one, what does hope give us? It gives us something to talk about. Number two, hope gives us something that we can work toward. Hope gives us something to work toward. Think about this. Hope motivates us to do work. I want you to imagine a scenario where a man has found out that he and his wife are now expecting their first child. And what does he do? He goes to work and he paints the room that's going to become the nursery. And they buy a crib and he puts it together and he changes out all the lights and redoes the ceiling. He has this hope of what's going to be in this room. Or think about a young person who is out mowing lawns all summer long, and you need somebody to take your trash, he'll take your trash off. You need somebody to clean out your... he'll do it. Why? Because he's trying to pay for college, or maybe he's trying to buy his first car. He's motivated. And that hope of getting enough money to buy that car to go to college, that makes him work. Or consider the husband who works 40... well, he works a 40-hour job, but he puts in 60 hours a week because he's doing 20 hours a week overtime because he's trying to earn money so his family can go to the beach so they can go see the Grand Canyon. See, that's motivating him to work, friends. Hope motivates us to work as well. And hope motivates us as Christians to work, or it ought to. We may have hopes for our future life here. And for our future work here, there are some things I'd like to do in this life, some things I'd like to do in my professional career. And that's all fine and well, you know. In preaching, you may want to go on a mission trip. That elevates your hopes. I've gone to Virginia, West Virginia many a times, done mission work there and other places. And it just elevates. You just get so excited. You just can't wait to go teach the gospel. Or, well, 2020 doesn't really count for this, but, you know, say you plan a gospel meeting or a homecoming, a vacation Bible school, a ladies' day, a Friday night singing or something like that. You're planning something, church work, and that gives you hope because you can't wait for that day to come. Well, Paul often spoke of his future work as well. Two references on this one, then we'll also look at one from John. But Paul was always thinking, well, where can I work? And also, how can I work? Go with me to Romans 15 and 28 and notice what Paul says, because Paul's writing to those at Rome, but Paul also would often mention other work that he's hoping to get done. Romans 15, 28, when therefore I have performed this and have sealed them to this fruit, he says, I'm going to come by you into Spain. So Paul is not at Rome when he writes to Rome. But Paul says, if I can finish up the work I'm doing here, I'm going to go to Spain. But as I go to Spain, I'm going to stop by and visit you. That man was very forward-thinking in his visiting, in his work there as a Christian. Also, go with me, if you will, to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and the 14th verse. I love this one, 1 Timothy 3:14. Paul says, these things I write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. Paul says, my letter should get there before I do, but not by much. I'm hoping that I can finish the work here, but I want you to note, friends, Paul is also not shirking the work so he can go see Timothy. Or Paul's not shirking the work so he can go to Rome. Paul's making sure the job is done, and then he moves on. But he knows where he's going to be next, or he knows where he wants to be. There were times where the Holy Spirit, Acts 14, 15, 16, would not let him go into certain places at certain times. But regardless, Paul always thought, well, I want to go here and I want to go here. He had a mind to work. Well, let's see how John puts it. 3 John 14, I guess technically that would be 3 John 1:14, but there is just one chapter, so we will just suffice it to say the 14th verse, which is the last verse of the third epistle of John, right before Jude. John says, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we can speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. What's John saying? John says, I'm writing you things you need to know, but my goal is I'd much rather tell you these in person, and I hope to see you there shortly, friends. Hope motivates us to work. And Paul and John, they were thinking, we need to be thinking the same way. But we see that hope also for eternal life should motivate us. In fact, it should motivate us the most. Go with me there to Titus chapter 1. And the first two verses, and notice how Paul begins his letter to this fine gentleman, Titus chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, Paul, a servant of God, apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the knowledge and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in the hope of eternal life. Oh, wait, what? He says, I'm writing you this in the hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. He may be referencing the Hebrew letter. If not, it's similar phraseology. But that should motivate us to serve the Lord. Notice Paul, he says, I am writing this trying to motivate you. I want you to serve the Lord. Let's see how Peter puts it. 1 Peter 1 and verse 13, because our hope, friends, should motivate us to be sober. 1 Peter 1:13. Wherefore, Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. To the end, literally in the Greek there perfectly, but he says, gird up the loins of your mind to be sober. Without going into too much of this, I want you to think about, if you've ever seen the drawings, maybe in a Sunday school book or the like, of people wearing a tunic that would go down about the calf muscle, calf area, down to the ankles. Well, if you're going to travel a long distance, you would not wear it like that, because sand and who knows what else could get up in your tunic. So you would almost reach through the back, reach through your legs, through the back, pull up what's there, and tuck it in your girdle. And that's called gird your loins. You're making it harder for dust, for pests, whatever, to get up in your outfit. Well, Peter here says, gird the loins of your mind, so pull it up. Don't let other things in. He says, be sober. Now, yes, he's talking about don't become drunk because, you know, you're either sober or drunk. But he's also talking about anything that really could pollute your mind. Worldly cares, riches, addiction, whatever. He says, you need to be sober. He says, but this hope motivates us to be sober. And also back to 1 John, and we'll go to the third chapter of 1 John this time, verses 2 and 3. This hope motivates us to live pure and godly lives. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Friends, I have that hope of seeing God, seeing Jesus Christ the way he is, seeing God the way he is, seeing the beauties of heaven. Oh, how beautiful heaven must be. We have that hope, and that motivates us to serve the Lord, to be sober, and to live pure and godly lives. So what does hope do? Hope, well, it gives us something to work toward. But finally, this evening, hope gives us something that we can hang on to. Hope gives us something that we can hang on to. Friends, you know, if we have hope, we can get through the most difficult of times. There is that proverbial light at the end of the tunnel. You know, we've been thinking about this a lot with concerning this virus, and when will we see the light at the end of the tunnel? But the fact of knowing that there is a light, that gives us hope, gives us something to hang on to. Or think about this, you know, that maybe not this weekend coming up, but the next weekend, two Saturdays from now, you're going to have some of your favorite people in the world over, whether it's your parents or a sibling or a kid or grandkids, a neighbor, a coworker, whoever. And you know you got somebody coming over, but the house is not presentable. You've been there? So every day you make your list. You say, well, today I've got to vacuum here, and tomorrow I've got to clean this. See, but that hope that they're going to come makes these daily chores not as bad. If you raise children with the hope that they'll have a good life, be faithful to the end, just like you're striving to be, that helps motivate you to go on. And you know, people can work through difficult times in marriage if they have hope for better days ahead. But sadly, and you may be the same way, I have seen too many marriages fail because either one or both of the partners in that marriage, they didn't hope for better days ahead. They didn't want to work through it. They didn't want to see the light at the end of the tunnel. They wanted out of the tunnel, friends. But we can have hope, and that helps us get through these difficult times that we have. Now, my difficult times might not be the same as yours. Yes, I know with this virus, it's been difficult for just about everybody. I don't know anybody that hasn't been touched at least a little bit. But I can also have other things in my life that are making it difficult, and you can too, and they don't have to be the same. But we can be going through difficult times in our lives. Well, friends, and I hope you note this, for Christians, those that have put on Christ in baptism have arisen to walk in a newness of life. Hope provides a way for us to deal with the things of the world. Go with me to the Roman letter. That says Romans 3, 3 through 5. That is a mistype. That should be Romans 5, 3 through 5. Sometimes I slip on the keys. Romans 5, 3 through 5. And not only so, but watch this. Paul says, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation works patience. And patience works experience, and experience works hope, and hope makes us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. See that? We start out, we've got tribulation, but we can glory in that, not that we're going through it, but that we can get through it with God. And then that brings you patience. Patience brings you experience, and experience brings us hope. I want us to look at what Paul says there, literally at the end of the book of Acts, because Paul knew personally that we as Christians, we have a great reason to hope, and that great reason to hope helps us deal with all of the troubles, trials, tribulations in life. Right there, I mean, he's just got 10, 11 more verses, but look at Acts 28 and verse 20. For this cause I have called you, watch this, to see you, that I may speak to you. Why do you want to speak to us, Paul? Because for the hope of Israel, I'm bound with this chain. Paul says, physical chains, also spiritual chains, he felt he was bound. But he did it for the hope of Israel, not physical Israel, not the Jewish nation, friends, but spiritual Israel, that being the church. He says, for this cause I am bound, but that gives me hope. Friends, watch this. When we have hope, we can endure almost anything that comes our way if we have hope. I want to read you a story And I've cited my source from Bible.org. It actually came from Bits and Pieces, a little journal from 1991. It's not original to me. I'm not the first person to use it. I didn't write it. But instead of me just reading it, we're going to put it on the screen here. I'm a fast reader, but this is on my website if you want a copy of this. But read with me. There was a school system in a large city that had a program to help children keep up with their schoolwork during their stays in the city's hospitals. One day, a teacher who was assigned to the program received a routine call asking her to visit a particular child. She took the child's name and room number and talked briefly with the child's regular class teacher. "We're studying nouns and adverbs in his class now," the regular teacher said, "and I'd be grateful if you could help him understand so he doesn't fall too far behind." The hospital program teacher went to go see the little boy that afternoon. Now, no one had mentioned to her that the boy had been badly burned and was in great pain. Upset at the sight of the boy, she stammered as she told him, I've been sent by your school to help you with nouns and adverbs." When she left, she felt like she hadn't accomplished much. But the next day, a nurse asked her, "Well, what did you do to that boy?" The teacher felt that she must have done something wrong, and she began to apologize. "No, no," said the nurse. "You don't know what I mean. We've been worried about this little boy. But ever since yesterday, his whole attitude has changed. He's fighting back. He's responding to treatment. It's as though he's decided to live." 2 weeks later, the boy explained that he had just about completely given up on hope until that teacher arrived. Everything changed when he came to this simple realization. He expressed it this way. They wouldn't send a teacher to work on nouns and adverbs with a dying boy, now would they? Do you see how important hope is for that little boy? "Well, they're not going to make me do schoolwork if I'm not going to make it out of this hospital. I must be able to make it out. I must be doing all right. I must be able to pull through." And that gave him hope. All from a simple little action, friends. Hope is amazing. What's the importance of hope here? Why do we need hope? It gives us something as a review to talk about. We long to hope for things here on earth, but we want to talk about that home we've got waiting in heaven if we're faithful to the end. It gives us something to work toward, like we're working toward that home, doing our best to live as a Christian. It also gives us something to hang on to. When all else seems lost, we have that hope, that constant hope. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8. Malachi 3:6, "I'm the Lord, I change not." Jesus Christ didn't go anywhere, and He always offers that hope. I want to close with a poem from Emily Dickinson called "Hope is the Thing with Feathers," and we'll read it here. "Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. And sweetest in the gale is heard, and sore must be the storm that could abash the little bird that kept so many warm. I've heard it in the chillest land and on the strangest sea, yet never in extremity it asked a crumb of me." Hope is what motivates us to move forward. Hope is what helps pick us up and realize that we can make it with the Lord. And it doesn't ask a whole lot of us, but we need to put a lot into it, friends. I hope this lesson has been beneficial to you. Now, normally we'd offer the invitation. That's hard to do in a video format, but if you're not right with the Lord, if you've not obeyed the gospel, if you're not faithful, if you haven't heard, believed, repented, confessed, been baptized, come out of that watery grave to live that new life, please let me know. I'd love to sit and talk with you personally, or if you don't want to talk with me, I'd love to put you in contact with somebody maybe closer to you physically or relationship-wise. Maybe you need to repent of those sins, live a new life. Stop sin. Stop living in that life of sin. But realize, friends, even in a world as dark as it seems now, we have hope. And it only comes from Jesus Christ. Now, if you want a copy of these notes, they're available on my website, thejustinreedshow.com/Bible Resources. Or you can Google or whatever search engine is your favorite. Just look for my name, Justin Reed, R-E-E-D Bible. Click on the Bible Resources page, scroll down the sermon section, you'll see that's here. The PowerPoint is here, taking ideas from people and kind of added and edited to it as much as possible so we can all better understand these things. I'll quickly, because this slide's not in the thing, but coming up on Wednesday night, we'll continue, if the Lord permits us, to be here till 6:30 Wednesday night, Central Standard Time. That will be live. We will have our midweek Bible study. And also Thursday night, we will continue with my father-in-law, Bill Boyd, and I, in the book of Matthew, Matthew 21, starting in verse 17 following there. It's also 6:30 on Thursday night. If you have a chance, we would be honored if you would join us for either of those upcoming studies. I also ask if you would please share this video, because as we mentioned at the start, there are so many people who need hope who don't have hope, or who are looking for hope, but they may not be looking in the right place. They may not be looking to God. They may not be looking to Jesus. They may not be looking to the Bible. Maybe just a simple share from you might help point them in that right direction. And also, if you've come on in the video about halfway through, or if you missed the beginning, if you give the video just a second or two, it will restart, and you can watch it over and over until you're sick and tired. Well, you may be sick and tired of me anyways. But you can watch it again and again as much as you need to. So I would thank you if you'd share that. But most importantly, I thank you for watching. We'll end this the same way that we have ended every video in this Live at 5 sermon series. May the good Lord bless you. And may He keep you. Please continue to pray, and thank you for watching.